broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
On the first floor of Bin Laden's building, two Al-Qaeda couriers.
Well, my words were very hurtful. They do not represent my heart.
Well, I like them because they teach you everything.
Facebook in particular is the most appalling spot.
I am gay.
They look like a bazooka.
It sounds racist to me.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and we go places other talk shows wish they could. And welcome to a radio show that is for patriots, by patriots. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. That's right. Go get your backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of our show every night here on the Phil Hendry Show, Phil TV in HD. You can also access the largest archive of any individual radio show in the history of the world. That is our archive. We have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of great radio. We also have, of course, our news feed. We have our blogs. We have email to reach out and touch. And more. We have our classic podcast, and we have our daily podcast. You sign up for your podcast through iTunes, and you get a podcast of our show every single day. This hour, we have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right, man. I was wondering if you were going to talk about that mummified lady.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the mummified lady. This is the most unbelievable story. And we will get into Bin Laden, Bud. Don't worry about it.
Well, I got a couple of ideas about Bin Laden and with the stuff that the people were saying, too.
All right. You have some opinions, in other words.
Yeah.
Fine. But what Robert just said, I think, is interesting and tragic and sad and weird and all rolled together. It's a very bizarre headline, and I will just give it to you. Mummified body of former Playboy playmate Yvette Vickers found in her Benedict Canyon home. Now, what is that? Yvette Vickers, an early Playboy playmate whose credits as a B-movie actress included such cult films as Attack of the 50-Foot Woman and Attack of the Giant Leeches, was found dead last week at her Benedict Canyon home. Her body appears to have gone undiscovered for months. Vickers was 82, and she had not been seen in a long time. A neighbor discovered her body in an upstairs room at her West Wanda Drive home on April the 27th. Its mummified state suggested she could have been dead for close to, get a load of this, a year.
Now, wait a minute, man. How come they did not have no, they call it decompose?
Well, now, that's a very interesting question.
Yeah, a lot of times it's rotten, and the cops will go, it stinks.
Yes, I know, Bud. God. Do you understand, if the air temperature is just right, if it's dry enough, certain things can exist in the air of the room that a body is in that are just right so that the body does not necessarily decompose the way we would think. In point of fact, it sort of just dries out like a mummy. And not to get too graphic, but in the deserts of Western China, for instance, they have found mummified remains. And these are 3,000-year-old mummies that they have found in the deserts of Western China. And these remains were mummified because the air in the desert is obviously so very, very dry. And these bodies were buried at just below the surface level in a very dry chamber for 3,000 years, man. And you remember they uncovered those Caucasian-looking mummies out in Western China, and the beard on the guy was still visible. He had red hair, and there were two females.
That the woman lady had a witch hat?
Yeah, that was the one where they found these mummies of Caucasians, and they theorized that these Caucasians had traveled by way of horseback because the age of these mummies was consistent with how long ago horses had been domesticated. So, in other words, you're not going to get that far east. If you're a Caucasian from the mountains of Europe and you find your way all the way across Asia some 3,000 to 4,000 years ago and you wind up in Western China, how'd you get there, man? You must have been on horseback at least.
Yeah, they could have walked.
Well, they could have walked, but the fact is, what do you mean walked, man? What cat's going to do that and not die, you know?
Yeah, but they're curious. That's the whole spirit of mankind, being curious that a guy walked.
Cat ain't going to walk, man. In other words, we had domesticated horses by that point, so they figured that they were on horseback. And they were also found near the Silk Route or the Silk Trail or whatever the hell that thing's called. So there's a lot of traffic. Anyway, they found these people, the point that I'm trying to make, and they were mummified. And yeah, one of the women had one of these large conical witch hats. You know, it's not a witch. I mean, that's what we think of. We think of Halloween. But actually, this big, tall, conical hat, they think, belonged to this woman because she might have been a priestess. She might have been a shaman of some kind. She might have been the wise woman of the clan or this tribe. And so she had this big, tall, pointed hat. Can you dig that, man? Imagine being taken back in time, okay?
Yeah.
And this is pre-Christian times, so you're just walking along, and there's a woman sitting in China, and she looks like she's from Ireland, and she has a pointed hat, and they're worshiping the sun.
Is that what they did then?
That's what they worshiped. Before the Jewish monotheism and before Christianity, before any of that stuff, most peoples of the world were in some form or another sun worshippers. So here's this lady with a pointed hat, a guy with red hair. They're smoking big, fat joints because they also found them with weed.
Get out of here, man. You put me on, man.
I am not kidding you. They found them with bags of dope.
You're kidding now, I know.
No, I'm not, man. They found them with cannabis.
Can you tell me the lady got on a witch hat? She's smoking a big, fat joint with a red-headed man there in China.
Yes. There's a lady with a pointed hat smoking a big, fat joint with a red-headed man in there in China 4,000 years ago.
You're out of your mind. There'd never be a way.
All right, well, that's fine, bud, but we're way off the point here, man. Way off the point here, guys. What am I talking about?
Well, you're talking about that Playboy bunny.
Playboy Playmate. Anyway.
What's the difference?
The Playboy Playmate is the one they take the picture of. The bunny is the cocktail waitress.
Oh.
Anyway, how does a body become mummified? Natural mummification, preservation without the help of ancient Egyptian-style processes, isn't as rare as you might think. The press officer for the Los Angeles County Coroner tells E! Television that even in Hollywood, it's possible for a body to become mummified naturally. What a stupid line that is. Factors include temperature, dryness of the environment, and the health of the deceased person. Los Angeles County Assistant Chief Coroner Ed Winter told CNN that it's not uncommon for Los Angeles County authorities to find mummified remains within homes or the outdoors. We find a few every year. Usually, they are shut-ins and people that are reclusives. Now, Vickers had lived in the 1920s-era stone and wood home for decades and served as the background for some of her famous modeling pictures. But over time, it had become dilapidated, exposed in some places to the elements. Susan Savage, an actress, went to check on Vickers after noticing old letters and cobwebs in her elderly neighbor's mailbox. The letters seemed untouched and were starting to yellow, Savage said. I just had a feeling. After pushing open a barricaded front gate and scaling a hillside, Savage peered through a broken window with another piece of glass taped over the hole. She decided to enter the house after seeing a shock of blonde hair, which turned out to be a wig. God, this is giving me the creeps.
I know, man. I wouldn't go in there, man.
Anyway, the inside of the home was in disrepair, and it was hard to move for the rooms because boxes containing what appeared to be clothes, junk mail, and letters formed barriers. Savage said eventually she made her way upstairs and found a room with a small space heater still on. She was looking at a cordless phone that appeared to have been knocked off its cradle when she first saw the body on the floor. Savage had known Vickers, but the remains were unrecognizable, she said. She remembered her neighbor as an elegant woman in a broad straw hat dressed in white with flowing blonde hair and a warm smile. She kept to herself, had friends, and seemed like a very independent spirit. To the end, she still got cards and letters from all over the world requesting photos and still wanting to be her friend. Savage said the neighbors felt terrible. We've all been crying about this. Nobody should be left alone like that. How about that?
What about Hugh Hefner? He should have come over there.
How about Hugh Hefner? Why should he be over there?
Well, he's like the model. She's a Playboy model, man.
I don't know, man. Maybe he called her up and invited her over to the mansion millions of times, and she said, hey, bug off, man. I ain't like that no more, Hugh, you know?
Oh, you mean she got religion or something?
I don't know. I don't know, man. God, that's kind of weird, though. You know, you're such a shut-in that people don't know you're dead for, like, what'd they say, a year? How many friends could she possibly have if she's been dead for a year? Isn't that what they said? Her mummified state suggests she could have been dead for close to a year. She must not have had anybody in her life that cared enough about her to see how she was for a whole year. That's kind of bummed. I don't know, man. That's kind of, I was about to say, that's kind of bummed out. That's wrong.
No, you say that bums me out.
Yeah, that bums me out. All right. 877-876-7445. That's a drag, though. Well, Last week, we told you about State Representative Sally Kern.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'd have been her friend, man. You kidding me? A Playboy bunny? That'd be hot.
She's 82, man.
Oh.
Yeah, Bud would be all going over there. Oh, wow, I got a Playboy bunny for a girlfriend. She's 80 freaking two.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did say that.
Yeah, I did.
You weren't listening. Last week, we told you about State Representative Sally Kern's racist and sexist remarks. They were very racist. They were very sexist. She's not too bright. She's sort of a dim bulb on the tree of life. But she says she's sorry now because she realizes this isn't just a matter of her having the right to speak her mind and everybody's getting it wrong. She realizes she sounded like she sounded like 300 yards of dumb. We'll play the audio of her tearful apology. Plus, a Steelers running back is taking heat for his offensive Twitter rants concerning Osama bin Laidlow. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back after this.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And this is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. And we're taking just a itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny break from the Osama bin Laden reporting. It's very important. We are going to get back to it. I will give you my feelings on it. There are a number of important things to tell you. And they're all true, and they're all factual, and they're all really smart, and that's what we do on this show, okay? What we do is we entertain you, we do a lot of comedy on this show, and then the other thing that we do is if we're going to waste your time with this horse dung political talk that everybody is jamming down your throat morning, noon, and night until you want to throw up, we give you the real stuff, man!
No, it's sitting around, man, talking like all them other guys.
We ain't talking like all them other guys. I'm not going to sit here and start... Because the script says I'm supposed to do this or that. No. All right, here it is. House votes to reprimand Representative Sally Kern for racist, sexist comments. Now, this woman, Sally Kern, is... we've come across people like this in the past. They're members of the House of Representatives, or some of them are members of a state legislature, or some of them are members of a city council, but they're not too bright. They come from the backwoods or something. They got some educational hang-up, some problem. They don't learn. They don't understand how life works. And so they just have a certain set of attitudes, and they suddenly get thrust into the spotlight as a congressperson, or in this case, in the case of Representative Sally Kern, I guess she is a congresswoman. She's an Oklahoma representative, a state representative. Is that right? What's the story with this chick, man? Okay, I mean, this story is the worst. Anyway, so she gets thrust into the spotlight as a state representative, and the next thing you know, she's talking about all this crap that she thinks she knows, and maybe her pappy taught her that, or who knows. But, you know, and she can't talk to a group of people to save her ass. In other words, if she knew that what she was saying was controversial, she might have found a way to say it better. Here she is during a debate last Wednesday, Sally Kern, a Republican from Oklahoma City in the Oklahoma House, suggested that black people are in jail in high numbers because they're lazy students.
In prison, there's more black people. Yes, there are, and that's tragic.
Yes.
But the other side of the story, perhaps we need to consider, is this just because they're black that they're in prison? Or could it be because they didn't want to work hard in school? And white people oftentimes don't want to work hard in school, or
really?
Asians oftentimes.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of times, that's what happens. I taught school for 20 years, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't want to work as hard. They wanted it given to them. Matter of fact, I had one student that said, I don't need to study. You know why? The government's going to take care of me.
I see. Here is another flashback. Representative Kern then took on women workers.
You see, women usually don't want to work as hard as a man because, I mean, now get me, wait a minute, now listen to me. Women, hang on, women tend to think a little bit more about their family, wanting to be at home more time, wanting to have a little more leisure time. That's all I mean. I'm not saying women don't work hard. I think women work very hard, so don't take that the wrong way. But that's factors you have to keep in mind. Okay, women like to be willing to have a moderate work life with plenty of time for spouse and children and other things like
that. Oh, they do.
That's all I meant. Okay?
I see.
They work very hard, but sometimes they aren't willing to commit their whole life to their job like a lot of men do.
Oh, so blacks are lazy, but women just want to be with their kids. In other words, this woman, not used to speaking publicly, and she's probably never aired these opinions among educated people, suddenly the sheer stupidity of this woman comes pouring out. Yesterday, here is Representative Kern offering a tearful apology.
While my words were very hurtful, they do not represent my heart and my actions of the past 60-plus years. I'm apologizing today because it's a biblical principle to do so. I want to be able to worship the Lord with a clear conscience. And I know there are those who have something against me because of my words. And so I'm publicly offering my apology and asking for your forgiveness.
Now, what's wrong with Sally Kern is that she, as a speaker, is not very good. As an individual who organizes her thoughts, she's not very good. There are those who would say she is a racist. We could have that discussion. I don't think it's very helpful. I think it's better, you know, the more I know about people, the more I'm really interested in how they put their thinking sometimes. I'm sure that she has these attitudes about black people and women that are pretty traditional for whites, which is, well, you know, these blacks, they do a pretty good job now, but it used to be. I'm sure she's, you know, right there. But she also is not a very good speaker because she doesn't organize her thinking, even to the point where she can articulate something without immediately pissing everybody off. So that shows you that she not only can't organize her thinking, she doesn't know a whole lot about the world she's living in. She represents a segment of Oklahoma. She's from Oklahoma City, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. That's a city, okay? So that's an urban center, which means it probably has more than just white folks in it. Nonetheless, I guess she hasn't been around the block. Because when you hear people talking like that, there's one thing that is for sure, they ain't been around the block. I don't give a damn if they've been around the world. They ain't been around the block.
There's a difference, too.
Exactly. There's a big difference. All right, Sally, way to do it, baby. I don't know whether or not she's going to get kicked out or what.
What are you calling baby for, man?
It's just a figure of speech. I don't know whether she's going to get censored or kicked out or whether they're going to... whether they're going to, you know, take her to the gallows, but that's the end of that. All right, we got some Bin Laden stuff to talk about, and I don't know whether I had to start talking about it now or not, but I'm not going to talk about Kearns anymore because that's about all I need to say about that. It's just not that interesting a story. However, what we'll do is we'll get kicked off, and then on the other side of the break, we'll continue talking about Bin Laden. There's a couple of things that have to be cleared up. One of them is this: he wasn't armed. The other was that they went into the country without any permission. Alan Dershowitz and his very magnificent pointing out of things. I don't know if you guys were watching any of the tube today, but Dershowitz was the guy that brought it up on CNN that I saw. We also have John Brennan and this other guy from the Situation Room that was with President Obama talking about interrogations. Now, it's very dishonest to say that no enhanced interrogation was used that led to the apprehension of Osama bin Laden, or the finding of Osama bin Laden. It's very dishonest. It is something I would expect those guys to say. The closer a guy is to the president, the more he's going to say, no, it didn't happen. Bull crap. That's number one. Number two. If it's illegal to shoot an unarmed man and illegal for us to go into a country without the invitation of that government, as was claimed today by at least one attorney, Alan Dershowitz, if that is true, then you have to give it the same weight that you willingly and gleefully gave to all the other transgressions that you joyfully reported about the George Bush administration. But they don't want to do that, do they? Why is that? Well, because it's a new day, baby. Let's move on. Let's be grateful that this happened, that the ends justify the means. Is that right? So there's a lot of hypocrisy that's coming out these days. Even Dershowitz himself pointed it out. Only today, Dershowitz said, I don't mind us being hypocrites. Let's just admit that we are. Oh! I mean, what, you know, dude, when you start talking that way, I think it's time for you to hang it up. I think it's time for you to get your umbrella out, man, and go dancing off with Mary Poppins someplace. All right, we'll be right back with more on that and some audio on the corrected Osama bin Laden narrative coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what do you guys? Which one do you want?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I got 19 Bin Laden stories. What do you want me to read?
You ought to read the one about what about that he wasn't armed like that other guy sitting in his underwear.
You don't want to hear about waterboarding, huh?
No, I don't waterboarding. No one's going to care. And even if they did waterboard him, they're going to say that no, they didn't. Everything.
That's the only part of this story that just bugs me beyond words. It's the, oh, baby, let's take this and run with the, let's turn this into the political football of the century and run with it. Oh, my God. If I read one more jackass on Twitter and that Penn Jillette, do you realize that that fat, stupid bastard yesterday quoted a Martin Luther King quote that doesn't exist?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You saw that, huh?
No, what happened?
There's some phony baloney Martin Luther King quote, and the quote is something along the lines of, saving the lives of thousands of people or something. Even if someone kills thousands of people, you should not dance. You should not be joyful at the death of one of your enemies. Something like that. In other words, it fit perfectly the whole Bin Laden is dead thing, and we're all happy. Oh, here it is. Thank you very much, Rance. I mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy, Martin Luther King. Well, it was never said. It doesn't exist. It's a phony quote. Michael Moore, that dumbass, quoted it. Penn Jillette, another dumbass, quoted it. See, these two guys, especially Penn Jillette, who's a magician. Now, I do a talk show for a living. I do a radio talk show. Yeah, I do a lot of comedy, but, you know, I got 3 hours to fill, man. So if I'm coming off with a lot of ill-informed political opinions, I have a right to do that because that are what I do.
Right.
But if you're making, if you're making models disappear or whatever, or you're making Penn disappear, and hopefully one day you'll make your own fat ass disappear, I got a great idea. Why don't you bring yourself and Moore on stage, make both of you disappear. All right! Then just go make somebody disappear, man. And you, fat boy, make another movie. But what did they do? They come up with this phony baloney Martin Luther King quote. You wouldn't know Martin Luther King, man, from Satchel Paige. What do you think of that? Oh, yeah, man. They were laying that one on everybody.
I didn't know that, man. That quote doesn't exist.
No, somebody made it up. And so that Penn Jillette jackball, he quotes it. And so I said on Twitter, you know, that Penn Jillette is a blankety-blank little, I used the choice word, and he comes back and says, you know, well, if you're going to get it right, Hendry, why don't you call me a big, fat blankety-blank? I said, no, you're still a little blankety-blank. You and your Martin Luther King quotes. So the thing that really, and the lady that tracked it down, by the way, is Megan McArdle, a blogger at The Atlantic. She tracked the original quote down to Jessica Dovey, a recent Penn State grad living in Kobe, Japan, who posted it as her Facebook status. And she said that it was Martin Luther King, this bitch.
Dad, where's she living? In Japan or something? Do you think people are not going to figure that one out?
I will mourn the loss of thousands of precious lives, but I will not rejoice in the death of one, not even an enemy. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive a little. Martin Luther King. Yeah, bull crap. Just like that dumbass, what's his name, Jesse the Body Ventura, when he was quoting Thomas Jefferson. There's only one problem there, Governor. Thomas Jefferson never said what you said he said. And when I pointed that out to that meathead, he hangs up on me. That's what we're dealing with here. Let's get it straight. Let's get it right. Let's get it beautiful. It's a Saturday night. I don't want to hear none of this. Hey, Henry, why rain on my parade? Can't we all just get long? Can't we all share some phony quote if it's in the right context and it's a groovy thing? No, not me, man. I ain't going there, okay? I'm not going to be that guy for the Jets who is...
Can I smell him?
You know.
Smell his wife's foot.
That's right. Guy's asking his wife if he can smell his wife's feet. I mean, come on, don't you think a guy has a right to... And speaking of misinformation...
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
So in other words, this is what we're having, the fire after fire after fire after fire that we got to put out? In the words of George Patton, God will not permit this to happen. All right. So anyway, the White House corrects bin Laden narrative. He was not armed. His wife was alive. She wasn't used as a shield. Bin was wearing boxer trunks, not briefs. And the SEAL said, wow, are those JCPenney? He said, matter of fact, they are. Pop, 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 double tap to the head, smoke bomb, concussion grenade, they're out, they're gone. White House officials on Tuesday sought to correct the official account of the raid in Pakistan. Rachel Maddow had this to say.
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
The raid in Pakistan that ended in the killing of Osama bin Laden, saying that the al-Qaeda leader was not armed, that his wife was not killed. Now, the new Defense Department narrative released by the White House and read at a White House news briefing on Tuesday said one of bin Laden's wives, one of his wives. One of these days, man, there's going to be a headline. One of Mr. Henry's wives said this.
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
Yes, Miss Maddow, realizing the mistake she'd made all those years ago buying all that hair mousse. Anyway, one of bin Laden's wives was shot in the leg as she charged members of the commando team on the third floor of the compound. Now, is this right?
Well, yeah, not her thing that she come at him.
Yeah, she came at him, man. I don't see how a weapon, maybe, but she come at him, man. She did.
Yeah, well, you guys don't know. You're just buying into this.
Yeah, it makes sense, though.
Makes sense? I don't know. All right, but anyway, she charged the guy. Maybe that's what they do in that culture, you know? The women, they all gather around their sheikh. And when they realize the sheikh ain't going to get a fair shake, they...
Shake a tail feather.
They shake a tail feather. Anyway, so one of the wives charges the commando team on the third floor of the compound. In the room with bin Laden, a woman, bin Laden's wife, rushed the U.S. assaulter and was shot in the leg but not killed, the brief statement said. Bin Laden was then shot and killed. He was not armed. Now, I can very well see the SEAL... This woman comes at him, bang, drops her. Had the wherewithal not to kill the woman, but dropped her. Now he raises up, and there's bin Laden in his underwear or whatever the hell, however he was dressed. And what? You know, he's got this wounded woman bleeding like a stuck you-know-what on the floor. He's got bin Laden dead in his sights. He's been told, we don't give a crap if you take him alive or not. Just, we're, you know, this guy's days are numbered. Oh, what the hell? Bang, bang, bang. You're dead. Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, read the narrative in an attempt to correct statements by administration officials who had suggested that bin Laden was armed during the raid. Under questioning, Mr. Carney said the White House stood by its claim on Monday that bin Laden had resisted capture, but said that resistance does not require a firearm. Mr. Carney said that the new narrative was the result of fresh information, which gets us back to the thing that we said at the beginning of last hour, and it's the following thing. You know, all of this information that we got in the minutes and then the hours following this, and I remember, first of all, it was a drone. It was a drone that got him, and, oh, General Petraeus, you're a brilliant guy. Well, General Petraeus is a brilliant guy, but it was not one of General Petraeus's drones. We found out that it was a ground action. And then we found out that it was the Navy SEALs. Then we found out first that it was bin Laden who was resisting, that the woman was a shield, she was an innocent bystander. Now we find that the woman charged the commando team, all kinds of stuff. How many people were in the house? Well, we heard that there were only four. We find out now that there were all kinds of people there. And I'll tell you, the more I hear about this, the more admiration I have for those SEALs. The more admiration I have for those guys, because they killed the people that needed to be killed. They didn't kill any innocent people, as far as we know. I mean, I don't know, but this narrative, you know. And I don't even blame the administration for the ever-changing narrative. The people that I blame are the people that leaked the information in the hopes of what? Gaining favor with a member of the media, or just confusing the issue? These were SEALs that were being debriefed, and they were being asked questions. Now the information goes from the SEAL to the guy that's asking the question. And somehow it goes from the guy that's asking the question, it somehow makes its way onto Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, maybe the SEAL said something.
I don't buy that for a minute. Those guys are trained. They're trained not to say a word. I don't know. I don't think so. Other than one SEAL says, I was downstairs. I don't know. It looked to me like she was being used as a shield. But the other guy that actually was killing Bin Laden said, no, she rushed me. And these two different versions eventually make their way to us. One is correct. The other is incorrect because the other guy was in another room, or he had a secondary a look at the situation. I don't even know how many guys were in the house. Do you?
They haven't said how many guys. He said about 60 guys.
I originally heard it was 24. Then I heard today that it was in excess of 60, which I'm not complaining. But again, I don't blame the SEALs, and I don't blame necessarily the people that were immediately conducting this operation. The people that I blame, and it pisses me off, are the news media and the individuals that they get their information from, their sources, who are so eager to spill this stuff out there that they just confuse things. Number two, these administration guys, like, for instance, the so-called torture debate, these guys who are very close to the president are the least likely to tell the truth when it comes to this enhanced interrogation thing. Why? Because they don't want the smell of this thing all over President Obama.
What are you talking about?
What I mean is, if they say, well, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, the enhanced interrogation, man, it did kind of do some cool stuff. And the cat is like a member of the national security team that advises the president. I mean, I don't think the president will look at this guy and say, it's been nice knowing you, but you're fired. And what the hell, are you trying to make me look like a jackass? Well, Mr. President, I'm sorry. Get out of here, man. You know, we're not torturing people anymore. I don't want the impression given that we got any information from torture, okay? That's all there is to that. Now, this guy, Colonel Morris Davis, that made these statements, was a prosecutor at Guantanamo, okay, and may very well be on the other side of the debate. There were others, though, that are close to the president, like, for instance, Leon Panetta, the CIA director, not as close as one of his NSC advisors, but he is a CIA director. I didn't see Panetta in the room, did you?
In that picture, no, but they had that one lady. And he finally did get her name.
Who was that young lady behind everybody? Amy something?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
There's a picture of everybody in the Situation Room. They're all intently staring at this screen. And one of them, there were two women in the room. One of them is Hillary Clinton, and the other is a young lady who was a director of counterterrorism, was the actual title, Amy something. But in any event, make a long story short, Leon Panetta said, yeah, it probably did, some of the information came by way of enhanced interrogation. Yes, absolutely. So that's where that's at. You know it's true. We all know it's true. Why pretend all of a sudden that 9.5 years of work, as President Obama said it was, 9.5 years, that includes the Bush administration, suddenly comes down to all of a sudden all the Bush years is nothing and it was all developed by Obama? Is that right? Well, I mean, you know, that's what they want us to believe, and I personally don't believe that. Okay. Under questioning, Mr. Carney said the White House stood by its claim on Monday that Bin Laden had resisted capture, but that the resistance does not require a firearm. On Monday, James O. Brennan, the top counterterrorism advisor to President Obama, said he believed that Bin Laden's wife had been killed while trying to shield the terrorist. But the narrative released Tuesday by Mr. Carney suggested the woman who died in the raid was part of another family living at the compound. The narrative says that woman was shot and killed on the first floor, not the third floor where Bin Laden was found and killed. On the first floor of Bin Laden's building, two Al-Qaeda couriers were killed along with a woman who was killed in crossfire, Mr. Carney said. Bin Laden and his family were found on the second and third floor of the building. That there was concern that bin Laden would oppose the capture operation, and indeed he resisted. Now, are they going to tell us how? Neither the Defense Department nor Mr. Carney made any mention of the woman who was killed having been used as a human shield during the firefight. Administration officials also changed the description of how much information Mr. Obama and other senior officials of the White House had in Washington as the operation was unfolding. On Monday, Brennan reportedly said, or repeatedly said, that he and others in the Situation Room were monitoring the situation in real time. Mr. Brennan would not say on Monday whether the officials could see or hear the operation. He said, "We were able to monitor the situation in real time and were able to have regular updates and to assure that we had real-time visibility into the progress." But on Tuesday, Leon Panetta, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, said in an interview on the NewsHour on PBS that once those teams went into the compound, I can tell you there was a time period of almost 20 to 25 minutes where we really didn't know just exactly what was going on. And there were some very tense moments as we were waiting for information. All right, so in other words, they don't have TV cameras that they're just kind of checking this baby out, and it's just a fantastic thing, you know. But finally, Mr. Panetta said, Admiral McRaven came back and said that he had picked up the word Geronimo, which was the code word that represented that they had gotten bin Laden. World-famous Phil Hendry show, so there you go. So these things change as the days progress because they decided to release this. No, on second thought, we'll say that. No, on second thought, we'll say something else. And we have to be very discriminating as news consumers. I know they should be much smarter at how they are releasing this information. The media should be much more responsible in how they report it. But ultimately, you and me. And the good news is we are living in an information-rich age. So we can, in a very discriminating way, decide what is the truth and what isn't. Because there's so much that we have to pick and choose from in terms of information. Looking for an eco-friendly alternative to cremation? We may tell you about it coming up next. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Keep that music up there, Mr. Engineer, as I've so often said. Now you can fade it down. There you go. Pardon me, folks, for having to give direction here on the air, but that's what we do on our show. 10 most useless college majors coming up, and then we have a series of comments made by Steeler running back Rashard Mendenhall. He was a hell of a running back. But Mr. Mendenhall is, I believe he's a Muslim. I could be wrong. But he's got like a Muslim name and a Jewish name.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Anyway, he said on Twitter, Rashard Mendenhall of the Steelers, he said, "What kind of person celebrates death? It's amazing how people can hate a man they never even heard speak. We only heard one side." We did hear him speak, sir. He flew some planes into a building. That was his speaking to us. "It's amazing how people can hate a man they've never even heard speak. We'll never know what really happened. I just have a hard time believing a plane could take a skyscraper down." So now we have Mr. Mendenhall questioning whether 9/11 happened the way that it did. "I believe in God. I believe in all of his children, and I believe he is the only judge. But I'm dumb enough to say the crap that I do on Twitter." Thank you, Rashard Mendenhall. Anyway, he deleted his tweet about 9/11, but some others remain. The Rooney family distanced themselves from Mendenhall in a statement early Tuesday. That is the Rooney family, the owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers. "I've not spoken with Rashard, so it's hard to explain or even comprehend what he meant with his recent Twitter comments. I do know he's kind of a dim bulb." No, he didn't say that. He said, "The entire Steeler organization is very proud of the job our military personnel have done, and we can only hope this leads to our troops coming home soon. No contact with between the Steelers and Mendenhall is currently allowed because of the NFL lockout." So the players and the owners have no contact with each other. The players and management has no contact with each other. Many athletes voiced opinions about bin Laden's death, but most were supportive. Will Smith of the Saints said, "Rest in peace, everyone who died on 9/11, all of the troops that gave their lives as a result of it." Matt Hasselbeck of the Seattle Seahawks said, stating the obvious, Navy SEALs are studs. USA, land of the free, home of the brave. And Derek Mason of the Ravens said, we can now have some kind of closure. The mastermind of one of the worst terrorist attacks on U.S. soil is now dead. And then Devin McCartney of the Patriots. Hopefully this means our troops can come home soon. But Rashard Mendenhall, not only did this cat get off some comments about bin Laden, but he was questioning whether or not the whole bloody thing happened on 9/11 the way we said it did. Just more proof positive that if you, I don't know, it just seems that if you, like, play with a ball for a living, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical direction by Don Naylor, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Until tonight, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry.